is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Nice. Pretty quiet? All right. Okay, great. All right, we're gonna turn a pick in here in a minute, and we're going to make you a Houston Texan. You know, we're excited to have you. Like, you're a good player. You know, you've had a good career at Stanford, and, you know, you're the type of person that we want to have in the building. So, you know, we're excited. Enjoy it with your family. We'll circle back with you here in a little bit. Coach Cully is sitting right next to me here. He's going to get on the phone. So we'll visit with you here in a little bit, but congratulations.
David Cully, head football coach, Texas. How you doing? You should be. Hey, listen, love the thought of you being a Texan. I mean, we can't wait to get you here. I hear him in the background. I hear him. Yeah, tell him get him some boots now, okay? Hey, well, listen, looking forward to it. Congratulations. Happy for you. I couldn't be, as a first-time head coach, I couldn't be more happy for you.
You know what the killer is? This is David Cully, head football coach. Like, because he's like, who are you putting on?
Is David, this excuse me now?
Is this?
Who's this now?
David Cully, head football coach. Is he the producer of the, what? Oh, he's the head football
coach. I'm sorry. Who is the, I'm sorry. Who did you say you are? I'm David Cully, head football coach. Of who?
Of who?
I just started laughing. I thought Bill O'Brien was there. No.
Oh, see, no one knew who the head coach was. Okay. No. You're the head coach?
Excuse me. There is a chance. This is not a shot at David Cully. This is just real. I actually think there's a chance Davis Mills, if you had asked him during the draft,
no, he would have no idea. He would have no idea.
I don't think he
would
have
known. Why would they know in California?
That's what I'm saying. No. I don't think he would have known.
Yeah.
And he had no idea the Texans had any interest in him. We already know that.
It's not his name, Art. That's not Casario's name. And it's not Paw. Okay. Okay, so neither of those things, Art. It's just so funny. Hey, is David Cully head football coach of the Houston?
You think Mike Tomlin has to announce who he is?
No.
What job he does?
Hey, it's Bill Belichick. I'm the head coach of the Patriots. And I just wanted to welcome you to the Patriots.
I'm sorry, Are you sure that was Belichick and that wasn't you just doing Nick Casario? Because it's exactly
it's
the same.
It's almost exactly the same. He almost sounds identical.
You really want to
hear Casario. I want to hear Nick Belichick once again.
Do we want to hear him talk to David Mills or Roy Lopez?
No. We don't need to hear all that again.
You want to hear him talk to Roy
that
Lopez?
That is literally a channel changer. That's literally a channel change.
I mean, he
is kind of boring.
He talked to Roy Lopez, too. Would you like to hear that
one? Yeah, I want to hear Roy Lopez.
I don't want to hear him talk to Roy Lopez.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
We don't need to hear Casario. We got the point out. The point of the audio is to say, this is what it sounds like. No one actually wants to hear him talk to a seventh-round defensive lineman for New Mexico. No, they don't.
He played at Arizona, too. Thank you.
It was Arizona.
Where is he from?
He started off at Mexico State, right?
Oh, that's right.
He's an Arizona guy.
He transferred. He played for Somi.
Did Somi make any money there?
Great.
Yes. Thank you.
Is that your state? He made some money there? Not did he win any games?
This show's deteriorating.
Wait, hey.
It's supposed to be a post-draft show.
So, I love Roy Lopez pick. Let me hear it.
Why do you love Roy Lopez?
You just want to hear
your impression and validate it is what you want. All right, let's hear it. Instead of that, let's hear it.
All right.
Hey, Roy, how you doing?
No, see, there's some excitement.
All right.
Laughing. He's laughing.
You don't have to wait any longer. We're about to make you a Houston Texan. So, congratulations.
Oh, this is really bringing the show down.
Yeah, you've earned it. No,
Turn it off. You know, let's move on. Let's go Astros. Like, seriously, we can't do that anymore. We will literally lose every listener we have. That's not even a joke. You can't listen
they
to Nick.
They want to hear Casario.
No. You can't
By
listen.
The way,
you can't listen to Nick Casario call.
Why
prospecting.
Did he?
It's the worst radio I've ever heard.
So why did in the middle of his press conference say I never watched Dodgeball?
I don't know. Somebody made a joke about him. Like, try to take a crack at him.
I didn't watch Dodgeball.
I have no idea.
No, but did you see that?
They said,
no.
You saw my video? Yeah, I saw your video. So I don't know.
Yeah,
what that
but I said he said then he said I never watched. By the way, I never watched Dodgeball
because somebody took a shot at him and he was letting him know he saw it.
No, he didn't see it.
He was letting him know he saw their shot at him.
Oh.
Somebody who was asking a question took a shot at Nick about Dodgeball, and he's like, "Just so you know, I never saw Dodgeball, so I don't know." So he's letting him know. Saw what you said about.
Wasn't
me.
An Aaron Wilson question?
No, I don't think so.
Is Aaron Wilson still alive?
He still works there.
Yeah.
Oh. No, I don't know where he works, but he's still breaking news.
He's working. He's doing all that stuff.
Oh, okay.
He basically lets somebody know. Yeah, I saw what you said.
Oh,
I heard. Ooh. Hey, yeah, I see the reckless jawjacking.
He gave him a little shot.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just don't know what it was in reference to.
All right. Let's get Flash in here. He's got some deep snapper thoughts. What do you say, Flash?
Hey, guys. The guy last segment called in and made mention of Alabama having their snapper drafted, but actually Alabama's last three long snappers have all been drafted. Cole Mazza was the one before this, and it covered like 11 years. Lance, I can't remember the first one, but Saban actually has those special teams camps where he actually recruits these guys. He got Cole Mazza out of California. So I think he was looking for like a two-star guard or something like that, but he brought him in from day one. He was a snapper. I just wanted to throw that out there.
All right. Thanks, Flash. All right, we got to get this show
back.
We got to get the show back on track. Literally, we're talking long snappers and two-star guards.
Well, yeah.
And Roy Lopez. There is not a reason for you guys to listen to us today.
I'm just
going to be honest. Turn the channel now while you can.
Would you like me to?
There's literally... If you stay here, you're going to hear long snapping talk and Roy Lopez talk.
What would you like to talk about?
I would never listen to this show.
What would you like to talk about?
I can go to Astros baseball. We can go to Davis Mills. Okay. Not Rockets.
What?
Not Rockets.
They're continuing.
We have been talking about Davis. Okay, if you want to listen just nonstop Davis Mills
for
4 days, go to 610.
We have new listeners coming in who are
That's what you do.
We have new listeners coming in. Because
you are
going to
hear about the greatness of a Davis Mills.
Well, then let's get to Roy Lopez and let's get to two-star guards from Alabama.
Oh, don't worry. They will, too.
Coming up next, we'll have Alabama special teams coach on to talk about the new camp that's coming up. Piggly Wiggly's your sign-up sheet. Don't miss it. Are you happy, Flash? We got the Piggly Wiggly talk in.
All right, so
we got twice the people on Twitch listening right now, tuning in. People are already saying, who the hell's in charge here? Apparently, Roy Lopez is
in charge. Oh, I don't know if you heard.
He was
one of the picks. I don't know if you heard.
So we're not supposed to talk about Texas draft picks?
What about
the linebacker from TCU?
Okay, so you can't work at 610 anymore because you won't talk about Texan sixth rounders and backup tackles. Okay, so good. So you can't work there. We just decided.
I thought we had a professional, an NFL draft analyst. Yeah. He won't talk about Roy Lopez.
Talk about him. I'll talk about him if y'all let me. If y'all want to know Roy Lopez talk, I'll tell you about every single pick. I will give you all the breakdown of every single pick.
I do want to hear why the hell did they draft Garrett Wallow?
Garrett Wallow is just linebacker depth and special teams depth, and they think he's got a chance to maybe – there's some
Where
people,
did you hit? Did look, you have him
I,
drafted?
I – Yeah, I think I had him 6th, 7th is where I thought he'd go. He went where I thought he'd go. I know our friend didn't like him and all that stuff. There's people who actually did like him, like who had him in a 4th round. I talked to a team who had a 4th round.
Really?
Yeah. It's.
Oh, everybody's got a different opinion.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
You know, this guy's a really good athlete. He makes a bunch of plays. I don't see an NFL starter at all, not even close.
Well, but in the 6th round, what are you going
to do? He's a backup special teams guy. That's great.
Yeah.
He was picked in the 5th. Pick 170.
Okay,
I thought he was 6th.
I'm looking at their thing right now. 5th round, pick 170.
170.
Ugh.
Well, if you got a special teams, a teams guy, isn't that where you get a teams guy? If he sticks and he's a teams guy for 4 years.
Once again, I guess we just don't see it the same. I mean, I didn't see the.
Honestly, how many 5th rounders make it?
Honestly, when I 5th rounders, we just went through this the other day a lot.
Yeah, actually, they do.
Yeah,
In certain drafts, they don't.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
5th rounders typically are going to make it a lot more than 6th rounders. I just don't agree with most of his Patriots drafts, so me and Nick are probably not going to see eye to eye on a lot of drafts. So, but with that said, Davis Mills got drafted where I thought he would. Brevin Jordan got drafted where I thought he would. Garrett Wallow got drafted where I thought I would. I just, you know, they just wouldn't have been at the top of my list personally, but I may be wrong.
Well, a lot of that depends on the team, too. I mean, like you said, this is a team that didn't need to draft a quarterback in the third round.
No, they just didn't. Right. That's not a good strategy. You can't sell me on a strategy.
So, okay, so the strategy would have been bring in a you like Paulson Adebo, and he was sitting there. And there were a lot of guys. There were more guys sitting there that you would have liked to have.
Yeah, I mean, that I think would have helped the Texans. I want to see the Texans get the city excited. It is terrible for our jobs for the Texans to be bad. People can act like it. I know there's radio hosts who love it when the Texans suck because they...
No,
you know,
it's no good.
But the bottom line is people eventually tune out. They don't care about the Texans right now. This isn't good for anyone's sports radio job, writers, all that stuff. It's good for nobody's job. It's not good for any energy in the city. And this is a team that I want to do well. I want the local teams to do well, period. And they are... This is as irrelevant as they have ever been.
So,
and it's not close. They have a general manager who has no energy, will not give you an answer ever in a press conference.
No, it's the worst.
He has no energy. He has no enthusiasm. And he has no personality. So automatically...
Well, I don't care about that. Make good picks.
Well, no, but I'm making a point for you. That's why you can't screw this pick thing up. Because you have an owner who is incompetent, low energy, nobody trusts. You have a general manager who doesn't give information to the media to give to the fans. So you don't really, you're never going to get any information. He's secretive. He has low, he's a low energy, non-excitable guy. There's no reason to have any juice there. So now you have a general manager and an owner. There's no juice. You have David Culley who, frankly, everyone loves David Culley.
Yeah.
I don't know that I get a head coach vibe from him. He comes off, frankly, as a guy who, you know, is just kind of the opposite of everyone else and is just happy to be here.
Bo Culley. Listen, he's Bo Culley. We know that.
Yeah. So what is there that... So I don't... You keep making questionable picks or you don't build a team up, and this thing is going to last a long,
but we don't
long,
know
long
that
long
it's
time.
Questionable picks.
No,
and again,
I didn't get
a pizza from them or anything else. I just don't like that everyone in the world is like, what a dumb pick. You don't know that Davis Mills isn't going to be a good player.
No one does. That this isn't the strategy. When you have a chance
unless
to draft,
they really like Davis Mills.
No, they must. So don't try to sell. So I'm just telling you now, don't buy into this. We just want to have more competition. That's what Nick Cassero said. We're just trying to add competition. That's all.
Well,
no,
that,
they love Davis
they
Mills.
Better. You know what? I'm glad they do.
They probably have a first-round grade on
that. I'm glad they do.
And that's great because you don't make that pick there with all your needs with all the draft capital on your way, including a high pick next year. You don't draft a quarterback just to be a backup that early in the third. You don't do it.
I hope it's a coherent strategy where you love him and then you play him. Because if he's inactive because you got Ryan Finley and Tyrod Taylor, what the hell are you doing?
What are you doing?
He can't do that. 815 ESPN 97.5.
What do you want him to do?
713-780-3776. We'll get it on the other side. Right. Right now, though, we're talking about HRP. HRP.net, 281-880-6525. Or HRP.net. Mike Holly and Chris and Chad and my boy, everybody, Kevin, everybody over there is fantastic at what they do. So this is real good possibility because this happened over at Prime. Prime used our guys, HRP. And what Kevin came over and what he did was he broke it down. You know, let me know your business, how many employees you got, the way you're going about it right now, your payroll and everything else, and we'll put together a plan for you. And it worked out perfectly, and they hired him and everything else. And it was awesome. So it doesn't cost you anything for them to break down the way that you're doing things. And not only that, but your HR, okay, because you can't handle HR. And then your benefits packages as well. So they're not going to do – HRP doesn't do benefits packages because that's not what they do. They do payroll and they do HR. HRP, human resources and payroll. But they will give you options for your benefits packages. They will give you options for your insurance. They will give you options for your 401k, all of that stuff. They give you the options to choose different people. While the other payroll companies, they force you into theirs. That's where they make the money. So if you're looking for a payroll company that's going to do HR and payroll, this is what you do, and let them give you all those options to do the best for you on 401ks and everything else. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, Houston Texans want to invite you, or rather Houston Rockets, I should say, want to invite you out to a Cinco de Mayo party. You can get a ticket for as low as $30, and guess what that includes? A quesadilla, a blue margarita, and, of course, that ticket, and have a ton of fun. This would be a great chance for you to go out and see some of the young Rockets, including Kevin Porter, who just got done busting 50 on the Milwaukee Bucks just the other night. Christian Wood, and all of the Rockets that are going to be in action. Get you, your kids, your friends, your family, and go out and enjoy Cinco de Mayo with a quesadilla, a blue margarita, and a ticket for as low as $30. Make sure that you check them out for yourself at Rockets.com. Extremely safe environment, great seats available, and you can take on a fun time on May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, with Rockets. Go to Rockets.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
819 on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776.
Texans, by the way, have signed 4 undrafted free agents, and I like them. Damon Hazleton from Missouri, he came over from Virginia Tech. He was better at Virginia Tech than he was at Missouri last year. But Damon Hazleton is a big wide receiver with some ball skills as well. Marlon Williams, big wide receiver with some ball skills. Marlon, I thought, was going to get drafted. Carson Green, right tackle from Texas A&M. Got some medical concerns, which is why he didn't get drafted, I think. He might have been a late-round pick. And Ryan McCollum, center from Texas A&M. So you got two Aggies you're going to have on the board there. McCollum will stick around in camp for a little bit. Marlon Williams and Damon Hazleton, kind of interesting now. Two big undrafted free agents that you add with Nico Collins. So they're basically saying, well, we're going to get some big boys. And there were some big boys in this draft. So that's all they have so far. It's only all I've seen is 4 undrafted free agents.
I saw Rivers McCown point this out, that why are you signing so many street free agent veteran types? It limits your ability to fill out your roster with undrafted free agents if you have so many guys who are on 1 to 2 year deals who you know kind of what they are. Why wouldn't you leave that open for undrafted free agents and just pile them in and see what you can find?
Well, you'll have a ton next year. It isn't going to mean, I don't think it's 6 and 1/2 dozen of another. I mean, they're all going to go away next year anyway. All these 1 year deals. Your turnover next year is going to be about as substantial as it is this year.
Let me ask you this. Now, who knows what Dylan Moses wanted to do? Injuries, didn't get drafted. Would you have rather had Dylan Moses, give him a big deal to come in as an undrafted free agent as opposed to whatever free agent you gave a 1 year deal to?
Yeah, 100%.
So that
now depending on what your personality, you know, depends on. Look, I understand the Texans have to see, do they like his personality? Do they think he works hard? Does he play hard? Does he fit their profile of what they want the Texans to be? That's their decision. That's not my decision. They know what that looks like. I don't. I don't think, you know, I'm not saying I do. And they have more insight and background on the kid. But if everything checked out in that front and they don't think the injury is degenerative, then yeah, I would have rather them. And you would think that you could maybe sell him on, hey, Dylan, you got a good chance to make this team with the Texans. I mean, it's the Texans. You got a really good chance to make this team.
Yeah. No, if I'm an agent, go to the Texans.
Yeah.
You got a chance to make the team. I guess.
That's why these wide receivers ended up there.
Like you said, and Rivers, and I agreed with him. Why are you signing all these mediocre, middling players when you could get undrafted free agents and see if they can play?
Like, who knows if they wanted to get into a battle for Marvin Wilson, didn't get drafted, local kid, got a big undrafted free agent deal. I don't know if all the guys they signed made that prohibitive, but I'm like, you know what? I'd rather have Marvin Wilson here than a number of the guys you got in free agency who aren't going to be around.
Roy Lopez.
Well, yeah, that too, but at least that guy got drafted. He's young. But some of the guys you signed in the free agency, whatever.
Yeah, but let's be real. Marvin had a terrible year, and Roy had a good year. That's what it.
I wasn't making that the battle.
One guy did.
I'm not making that the battle. I'm making it Marvin Wilson over a couple of your free agents.
I'm just trying to defend Roy Lopez a little bit. He had a much better year than Marvin. Marvin just didn't show up this year. He's too heavy, and he kind of hurt himself in that regard. Texans Cap made this comment. Info from the Caserio interview validates the reason on the big free agent class. Teams were concerned on the lack of available information on draftable players. Houston opted to fill via free agency and go with the small draft class. So their idea was, look, we don't have the medicals that we need. We don't have the information we need. We didn't have boots on the ground at the team facilities in college. So we would rather just wait until next year, and we'll just go with free agency and not worry about having a bunch of draft picks this year with guys we don't have information for. That's pretty interesting, and it certainly would speak to a guy who has been around the league for a long time and understands the process of how you gather information.
Draft picks are one thing, but we're talking about taking flyers and undrafted guys, and for a year where you know you're going to stink, I don't care about Vincent Taylor. You signed him as a defensive tackle. We all kind of know what Vincent Taylor is. Why not?
He's a former Patriot. That's what he is.
And a former Dolphin, I think, too. I kind of know what Vincent Taylor is. Why not try with multiple undrafted free agents? I get it. You didn't get to scout him. You know what? Use your year where you're going to stink as your scouting year to see if you can find a couple guys.
Agree, but they think, you know what? We got to win. They want to win.
Then why'd you hire David Culley if you want to win?
Because David Culley is going to lead them, okay?
Is he?
Yes, he's going to lead the team. He's exactly what this organization needed after Bill O'Brien. No, he's the opposite of Bill O'Brien. That's why you hired David Culley.
Great.
He's exactly an unbelievably likable guy. Let's get Reese in here. He wants to talk about the draft. What do you say, Reese?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, okay, so the Texans doesn't sound like you're too high on their draft, Lance. So I'm trying to figure out what, because if you look at the Patriots, they were cutting guys left and right, meaning they were missing on guys, you know, a year or two in.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to figure out why wouldn't they have taken a better GM, you know, like somebody that I feel like the Ravens and the Steelers draft well. So I'm just not fond of the Casario hire, and I've not been shown anything, especially now since the draft is over, that would make me think he's a competent GM.
Yeah, it's still a long way to go on that, and he's been a pretty, you know, he's been a heralded guy, and he's a guy that we would have loved to have had the year before last, but the reason he's the Texans GM, I mean, he's certainly capable, there's no question, but specifically the reason he's the Texans GM is because Omar Khan was about to be hired by the Houston Texans. Jack Easterby knew he was going to get fired and that the players were not going to back him because Laremy Tunsil told him to go bleep himself. Literally told him that. Go. He said, will you help me? And put in a good word. He said, F no, I will not. That's what Tunsil told him. And so, I mean, I'm sorry I have to tell you all this real information out here. That's what happened. And Jack said, oh my gosh, because he wouldn't say oh my God. He said, oh my gosh, Tunsil just said, F no, he won't help me. He canceled the rest of the meetings with the leadership council that day, who he was all going to try to say, hey guys, will y'all put in a good word for me to try to keep his job? Because Omar Khan was told, You can do whatever you want with Jack Easterby. We are not going to make you keep him. And so Jack knew he was gone, especially if the players wouldn't put the cape on for him. So he drove to Cal McNair's house. Nothing that I'm saying here is untrue or I'm fabricating. This is not like as a joke. I'm not saying it as a joke. This is why you have Nick Caserio. He went to Cal's, let's pray on this, hold my hands, let's pray, let's think about this, and let's pray on it. Pray, pray, pray. Yep, it's Nick Caserio. That's what we're being told. Cal, go get the jet. Let's go get our guy. They went. They got Nick Caserio, and Omar Khan was out. And just like that, because Nick Caserio is Jack's guy, and they have a relationship from New England. Jack then negotiated Nick Caserio's contract for the team, which is way, I mean, well, Bob, well, okay. So Jack negotiated or got the deal done. He was the team side, which is a crazy conflict of interest that Jack Easterby, trying to get the best deal for the team as well as for the general manager, gave him a high-dollar, long-term contract for a guy who now is beholden to Jack and will not get rid of Jack. And, in fact, most teams think Jack is running the show, which I refuse to believe. I'm just telling you now.
Did you notice when Jack Easterby was brought up in the press conference?
Uh-uh.
Yes.
What happened?
What about your guys in the draft room? Bezerrigan and Jack Easterby and you got it. He did not, Nick Caserio did not even mention Jack Easterby.
Good.
He named every guy and did not even mention
Easterby.
Yeah,
yeah, okay, because he mentioned Bezerrigan, Lipfert,
yes.
Zeke, who John, I think came over with him.
John somebody.
Right, and he said Zeke, who I don't know Zeke, but I think he came over with him potentially. So, yeah, I did notice that Jack's name wasn't mentioned.
Jackie,
which is good. Jack shouldn't be involved. There is a belief that Jack is the overarching head of Houston football, where Nick reports directly to him.
That's not true. That's not true.
Oh, okay, so do you think there's a chance that Nick reports to Jack and then Jack reports to Cal? I think that's very possible. I think there's a good chance that's the case.
No, I don't. I don't.
So you think Nick goes directly to Cal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hope.
Maybe Jack doesn't make football decisions, but maybe Nick talks to Jack and then Jack talks to Cal. So maybe Jack's not the one. Hey, Nick, do this.
But yeah, Nick could Jack get him, Nick fired? Yes or no?
If in a couple of years, yes.
Then Jack's the boss.
Yes. Well, Jack can get everybody fired because he's a little snake.
That's the truth.
That's what he's done.
No. Hey, he's got all the power with Hannah and
the
Cal.
Running to the owner and praying about it, but really all you're doing is setting it up so you can get your guy in here. That whole man of God thing. Look, I don't want to talk about the man's faith, but if that's the story, that falls.
That is the story that was a self-preservation mechanism.
And but he used prayer to do it.
Ugh. Well,
that's what he's saying. They prayed about it, but he
if
already
your
had
prayer
an idea
comes
in mind,
up with a guy who wasn't on the list that was given to you by who was the company that did the search?
Corn Ferry.
Corn Ferry. He's not on a 10-man list of Corn Ferry, and he hadn't previously come up in your conversations that year, and all of a sudden he's your GM? That's what the prayers told you? That's called a Hail Mary. That is a literal prayer. Jack threw a Hail Mary. It landed. Nick was the GM. He got a 6-year deal for Nick with a bunch of money or whatever it is, and then Jack is now protected by Nick. That's why Nick Caserio is in as general manager.
And that's why Jack Easterby's name never comes up.
Well, because Nick also understands you ain't a football guy.
No.
Make no mistake about that.
But listen.
Who was fist bumping in the building? Who was in the room fist bumping, though? Did you see that on day two when they drafted? Jack was the first one fist bumping everyone. Bang, bang. Looked like Matt Schaub in there. Bang, bang, fist bumping. Because now he looks like Matt Schaub. But Jack was in there in the middle of all that stuff. He was in the video.
He's not making football decisions.
No, he's not.
830 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, I'm telling you who's making car decisions. That's my peeps over at Chastang Ford. The best. I love Chastang Ford, and you will love Chastang Ford. I'm serious. I cannot tell you how great it is to be part, and you will be part of the Chastang family because that's what you feel like it. You feel like you're part of the family because they're awesome at getting you in your car or truck at the price that you need to be. And then, and honestly, they say, what do you want in it? Okay. First of all, how much can you spend a month? What is it? Do you have to be on your payments? Because we don't want you to be upside down. We don't want you to be struggling to make payments every single month. That's not what we do here. What we do here is we want you to have the best car that you can possibly have at the price that you can afford. And then when you get it and you find all of the accessories that you need, that you want, that you have to have in that vehicle at the price that you have to have it at, they don't add anything on, which is so unusual in this business. You will love Chastang Ford. They got to get rid of the 2020s right now, so you're getting an unbelievable deal. And if you're looking at this 2021 Ford F-150, it's the best I've ever seen, ever, ever, ever. So get to ChastangFord.com or get there at 610 on Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. You'll love the deal at Chastang Ford.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I saw a tweet from Bruce Feldman this weekend. I want to introduce you guys. Okay, because look, you see where Trey Lance came out of nowhere, and the year before Sam Burrow came out. Watch out for this Malik Willis. He's going to come out of no. You know, we've been talking about Malik Willis for what, months now?
Yeah, because he is a legitimate prospect. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's a run-pass option. He's what the NFL's looking for now.
He could be the riser this year.
Everyone with this comment, like, look at the quarterback draft next year. It stinks.
How do you know
that?
Stop
saying that.
No,
Zach Wilson wasn't in the mix last year. He's the second pick. Trey Lance was not expected to be a third pick of the draft, and here we are. Carson Wentz wasn't supposed to. Jared Goff wasn't supposed to. They were 1 and 2. Like, this happens every year.
People
act like you can look forward.
And I'm going to tell you this. It's going to be Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, I mean, it probably is.
It probably
Malik Henry, Spencer Rattler, Sam Howell. Malik Henry was running back, wide receiver. No. He was on Last Chance U. Oh, that was that quarterback. Malik Henry is the worst. Who went to Florida State. Yeah, so Malik Willis, Sam Howell.
But
Sam's name is going to be mentioned as Spencer Rattler. Are going to be the three that you hear mentioned the
most.
I'm
going to tell you, it's going to be and
Kedon Slovis.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not going to be as bad a class as everyone keeps acting.
No, next year they're going to be able to get him, which is why maybe they shouldn't have gotten to reach for Davis Mills, I guess. But here's the thing is,
hey, you got your future back up.
How about this, though? How about if Davis Mills actually plays well?
That'd be great. If he lived up to the 5-star hype when he came out, be incredible. You would have a cheap option.
At the third round?
You'd have a cheap option for for only 4 years. You got to pay him sooner.
Well, that's okay. If he plays well, are you going to complain about only 4 years?
I'm already on to a second contract.
I know. How about that?
How quick was that I flipped?
How about that?
I liked him fine for another team. The Texans need to aspire to something better than developmental guy like, hey, while we got Kirk Cousins here, let's try to develop Davis Mills. That's a great strategy for you guys. Not for us, it's not a good strategy.
Why? The Texans is perfect strategy. You throw something against the wall, if it sticks, if it doesn't, so what? It was a third rounder.
Because it's a third rounder, but for the Texans, it has a ton of value this year.
Well,
it's
maybe
a future starter.
Maybe.
Probably.
What third rounder for the Texans has been just, what an unbelievable pick.
Can I just tell you that they not only did they not pick a corner, they didn't even put one in that I've seen as a priority free agent.
Well, I don't know if you heard, they got Mitchell, they got Desmond King, they got Roby. They're fine.
Like a bunch of one-year deals. Desmond King is. I got to see about Mitchell. I think Mitchell was a one-year deal too. They got Vernon Hargraves. They got Lonnie Johnson. You only want to do certain players.
837 ESPN 97.5. All right. Whose draft did you love?
I liked Chicago's draft.
Did
okay.
you like it?
Yeah, I liked it fine.
Everybody thinks they had the greatest draft in history.
I mean,
because
they got Justin Fields. They got Justin Fields and Tevin Jenkins. But Tevin fell out of the first for a reason. They got Justin Fields. And I told you that one of these quarterbacks is going to, that Mac was going to slide. And Mac did slide to 15, which looked like his last landing point. But it didn't shock me that Justin Fields, but since Justin Fields got selected by Chicago, everyone says, okay, this is the best draft. Let's move on to the next things. It is kind of weird that we all watch college football. We all saw Justin Fields struggle a great deal against Northwestern, against Indiana. He really started off, I thought he was pretty good in his first two games, not very good his next three. Had a good, a very good game against Clemson. Not that great against Alabama. And after we all saw that season, people were acting like this is like a can't-miss future superstar. But that's not what we saw this year. When we were talking about college football, we were like, man, Justin Fields is, he's really struggling right now. He's going to have to get it back together because he's just not having a very good year this year. It's like that didn't even happen this year.
Yeah.
It's like he has a ton of talent around him.
No,
no one ever talks about all
the Bears
NFL draft talent. Talks about that. They talk about it with Tua, with Dell's guys. They talk about it with everyone else.
Yeah, Ohio State may have, Alabama, sure, wide receiver core. Ohio State's next in line. Like, Olave didn't leave, and they already just had a 4 or 5
Garrett is awesome.
Transfer. They're going to have one of the best wide receiver cores over the next couple of years in college football, at least talent-wise. We'll see how they develop. I think a lot of his issues, at least as far as evaluating, short season. Didn't play a lot, and those two games are magnified when you don't play a lot of games.
That's probably true.
Yeah, he had some great ones. Like, he started off the year with 11-0 interception, TD interception ratio. Remember against Nebraska, he opens up one incompletion.
He looked incredible.
And then against Rutgers, who stinks, although they played better this year, five touchdowns.
Rutgers
he had more. Stink. He had five more. He had five touchdowns. He had more touchdowns and completions in that game. So he had some great performances early. But then you watch him against Indiana, the three picks, and then Northwestern. And then he has the
Northwestern,
Clemson,
by the way,
game.
Had the best defense in the conference.
Yeah, they were really good. Yeah. Then he goes out against Clemson and lights their ass up.
Yeah, yeah. And he was great.
And I would say, hey, Brent Venables, stop playing your three-star, two-freshman son at safety. That might help the cause.
Yeah, so I don't – so everyone
– yeah, but they always got white but guys.
But Chicago – it's not about having white guys. It's having your kid –
it kind of is.
No, my issue is not about the white guys. It's about you playing
– your son.
Your son over – I'm sure there's a four-star out there who could have been playing.
Yeah.
Who you could have, you know, given a scholarship to.
Look, you – everyone's excited because Justin Fields is a name they know, and that's fine. And he was in the tower, and he got saved. Now Chicago saved him, and now he's going to save them, and that's fine. They got hope now because they missed so bad with Trubisky. Now they get Justin Fields, who was behind Trevor Lawrence, was the second most hyped quarterback in this draft with good reason. People have seen him, and he's played in the playoffs. So that's they got Tevin Jenkins. That's a legitimate starter. They got him in the second round. Bears had a good draft. I thought Denver had a really good draft. The Chargers, I thought, had a good draft with a bunch of guys Slater. Who are going to make their 10. Yes, Slater. Where they got him.
Well, I want to go over every team and just we'll pick some names. I want to go over it. We'll do this on the other side. We'll do our division first. But I want to go through every team and just a name or two and just quickly through each draft and see what you liked, what you didn't, real quick. Mike is here, though, on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Mike?
Hey guys, liven up the show. Let me tell you ask you a little bit about UT, U of H, and the Texas schools. Anybody coming out of the draft from those colleges that are going to make it or break it or anything? I haven't heard anything really over here in Houston about that. So I'll hang up, listen. I love you guys, and have some kolaches.
Well, Houston had a first round pick.
Yeah,
not
and then
Texas.
They had Mr. Irrelevant too.
I'm sorry. Did Texas have a first round pick?
No.
Did Texas A&M?
No.
Did Baylor?
No, nobody.
Yeah.
TCU, nobody.
Houston did. So Peyton Turner was the lone first rounder. From Texas, their best prospect was Sam Cosmi in the second round. Joseph Osai was the second rounder.
Yeah.
So was second or third?
Third.
Actually, Joseph Osai was after the Texans drafted. So he was a third rounder. Texas A&M.
Oh, they had
Buddy
a few
Johnson.
Guys. I think Buddy Johnson.
I like. He's a stealer too. He's a good stealer.
Yes,
perfect stealer.
Perfect. I think Buddy Johnson's going to have a long NFL career.
Texas A&M.
Kellen Mond
had Kellen Mond. Bobby was the fourth. Kellen Mond was the third. Kellen was the first Aggie drafted, wasn't he?
Yeah, and the first of the not top. He was the sixth guy.
Trask was drafted into the second, right?
Yes,
and
by
then
the Tampa.
Then Kellen Mond.
And then Kellen Mond.
Yeah.
He was the sixth guy. He was the sixth guy taken. Yes. And you know what? Good for him. You know what? Kellen Mond, let's see. He's got a chance to go, and we'll see if he can't compete.
If you are a high-level quarterback, I mean, even go play for Jimbo because he got Christian Ponder and E.J. Manuel drafted in the first round. As much as that offense.
Jameis, number one overall.
Yeah.
Right.
Dude, Kellen Mond was a early third rounder. You would have never said that after 2019.
No.
Never. You would not have thought he was even drafted.
No, he did a hell of a job with
Jimbo's
Kellen.
Off. You're right. Christian Ponder, Jameis Winston, Kellen Mond.
Even E.J. Manuel got a first round.
E.J. Manuel, yeah.
15th overall.
First quarterback of the draft.
I don't know how you'll play when you get to the NFL, but if you want to get drafted pretty early. Well, yeah. Jimbo gets it done.
They may not be players.
Yeah.
Pretty low hit rate.
But they'll get drafted.
Right.
And obviously, Jamarcus Russell, he was his OC there.
And big ups to Peyton Turner.
Yeah.
Big ups. Grant Stewart.
Yeah.
Mr.
That man gets black quarterbacks drafted.
And white ones. Christian Ponder got drafted.
That's it. I didn't even realize Jimbo had.
Marquez Stevenson got drafted as well from the U of H. Yeah, yep. He had Jamarcus as an OC. Well, Notre Dame.
Yeah, I forgot he was.
To be fair.
You sure he was his OC?
I think so.
I think you're right.
To be fair, Notre Dame got Jamarcus drafted. That game, Sugar Bowl, when he lit him up, they put him on the scene.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, we're going to take a look at, we're going to run through teams, we'll run through drafts, just some thoughts here and there, Lance, on what you think of different drafts and what guys did, what teams did. 713-780-3776. Right now, though, your patio.
Texas Custom Patio. So I got to get out there. And I was looking at some new patio cushions. I went to a spot yesterday. We may be making some – I may be switching that out because we're like, man, now the draft's over, I'm going to want to be out there all the time. And I was already going out there in the evenings, but now I'm going to be sending the kids out there, and we'll have people come over to the home because we're all fully vaccinated and yada, yada. And I just know the Texas Custom Patios, what they built for me is incredible. And I have friends reach out to me. We've done the steaks and bourbon and beers before, and all the guys want to get together and come back over because it was such a fun time just getting out there and hanging out with my guys. And the Texas Custom Patios are their second homes. I mean, it's amazing. It's an outdoor living space. It can be an outdoor kitchen. It can be both. They can build a freestanding pool house for you. It can be a room addition. And it's top quality product. The design is astounding how lifelike it is when you get to see it. And it adds true value onto your home. Whatever you spend on that patio, they typically see dollar for dollar coming back on that home when it comes time to sell it, because it's such a big differentiator. Go to TexasCustomPatios.com and sign up for your free consultation. That's TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Three.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, in the division, Lance, let's go. Who had the best draft?
Jags. I think the Jags
had the best draft. I mean, when you add...
Colts had a pretty good draft. The Jags had the best draft. I think Travis Etienne with your quarterback... To me, that's how you want to do it. You got a quarterback who you're going to build around, and you hope that he is the next Andrew Luck plus, maybe the next John Elway.
Yeah.
Go get a guy that he's familiar with, that he's gone to battle with, that he trusts, and that can help him.
And don't give me this crap. He's going to be a third down back. Stop.
Should he start?
I think he will be a start. Whether he starts or not is irrelevant.
Yeah.
Cam Akers will start, and Cam
Akers
will
get more snaps. Should he get more snaps than Robinson?
If he earns them.
Yeah.
I think he's got to earn them. We know he'll be the guy.
Listen, who's more explosive? Well,
who's the better?
No. He's way more explosive.
He's way more explosive. We'll see who's the better player.
Yeah, but James Robinson is also. I mean,
James did it.
James did a nice job.
Create competition.
Yeah,
you got to compete. You're the third back. Etienne knows. He knows. He's not stupid. And even if he's third back now, the cream's going to rise.
All right. So they had a good draft. What about Indy? Quiddy Pay.
So I think Indianapolis had a sneaky good draft, and here's why. Quiddy Pay is really good for where they got him at 21, but this kid, Odeyingbo, has a chance to be a better player. If he didn't tear his Achilles, he would have been, I think, the first pass rush. He would have been drafted maybe ahead of Jalen Phillips and Quiddy Pay. He was going to be a very high draft pick. He is a big – now, he's got some development to do, but every one of the pass rushers do. Kyle Granson is a player who – another team in the AFC said is the next Jordan Reed, and he is talented from SMU. Sean Davis, safety, I liked. Okay, Sam Ellinger, I thought that was an interesting spot for Sam to go, and they're going to give him a shot at quarterback. Ballard said it's one of his scouts is just killing him. Ellinger's a winner. He's this. And he's like, fine, have your guy. No, but Chris likes him. Chris likes Sam Ellinger. He really does.
But he's also could be Taysom Hill.
Well, he's Taysom's. Like two, Taysom's explosive.
Does Sam give an explosive vibe? Can he line up and go play wide receiver for him?
He could go in motion. He could catch the ball. He can.
Why do you say that?
H-back.
Based on what?
Because I've seen him run plenty.
But why do you think he could be a wide receiver? Well, you think he could separate?
No. You got to get Taysom's a legit.
Taysom was a 4.4 40 guy.
Yeah. No, Taysom was.
Taysom is a great athlete.
Yes, he's a great athlete. All right, Tennessee.
Tennessee's draft Farley, this year.
Redunz.
So Caleb Farley is a big risk. Dylan Redunz is just a guy. Monty Rice, I thought they overdrafted. I like Elijah Molden. He ran slow. I think Fitzpatrick will be out of the league in 3 years. I thought they had a bad draft.
You know, Tennessee don't care because they already bombed out on Isaiah Wilson. Now, it'll be a different reason why Caleb Farley doesn't work out, but they're like, hey, let's take another risk. Let's not go get a sure thing.
Right?
They're going for upside, I guess, because Caleb Farley is better than that spot.
Yeah, the upside's high.
Yes. Caleb Farley is better than that spot.
Yeah, but so is Isaiah Wilson, potentially. But yeah, Isaiah had character flags. Different. Yeah, it's not even fair.
Not even fair.
Well, way to go, Dell.
Yeah.
That's horse crap for you to put.
I preface it by saying that it's not the same type of risk, but it's a guy who, you know, injury concerns. Like, you would think maybe thing after bombing out.
They're not risk averse, though. They're not risk averse.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Listen, and if he turns out to be a player, if he's healthy, they got a good one.
Well, maybe they, but this is why everyone thought he'd fall out of the first, or a lot of people did, is because you don't have a chance to really get in-depth with your medicals this year. And it's like, any other year you'd say, oh, our staff is really,
that's fine with it. Trade away all their picks because they didn't want players this year.
Yeah, it's good. You don't need them, and you don't need players, honestly.
You don't need them next year either.
You got a lot of free agency signs, so you're in good shape.
Arizona, Zaven Collins, Rondell Moore.
Nah, not a huge fan. I like Zaven Collins. I think he was drafted there because they don't trust Isaiah Simmons, their pick last year. Rondell Moore, to me, is basically another small guy on the heels of Christian Kirk and Andy Isabella. And it almost feels like they're saying, they're basically saying Andy Isabella was a miss in that one. Marco Wilson in the fourth is a little early. There's nothing that gets me excited about their draft.
Atlanta
had
Richie Grant.
I like Atlanta's draft of Kyle Pitts, and I like their draft of Drew Dahlman in the fourth round. Other than that, Darren Hall's just okay.
You don't think Richie Grant's going to be a player?
No, I think Richie Grant's got a chance. Everyone else in the league liked him more than me, so I probably missed on him because everyone liked Richie Grant. So, I mean, that's good. Richie Grant's probably a good pick. Jalen Mayfield, they got him where they should have. Just kind of okay. Darren Hall, we'll see, but Drew Dahlman will be a long term starter for them.
Yeah,
I didn't love everything else.
Drew Dahlman's a center out of Stanford. Baltimore, Rashad Bateman,
boy,
Odafe Away.
So I had a team tell me we were going through the draft, and they said they're kind of getting away from the Ravens. They're not doing Ravensy stuff as much anymore now that Ozzie's not there.
Ozzie's not there now
because he said when you look at this, Bateman, in their estimation at least, is a guy who they question if he's going to be tough enough. Jason Owe, now I like Owe a lot, but it's projectable because he hadn't had much production. Their point was Ozzie would not have drafted a guy who was that much of an upside guy but didn't have production. Brandon Stevens is a risk in the third round. He's a former running back who went to cornerback who's never played safety, and they took him in the third.
Is there a chance Tylan Wallace is better than Rashad Bateman?
Yes, there is.
Yeah, there is. They got him. They got him later.
Mm-hmm.
131st. Buffalo, Gregory Rousseau, Carlos Basham.
I think Buffalo had an interesting draft. They drafted two edge defenders and said, okay, let's see if these guys can – So there's sometimes draft strategies where you kind of do some what I call coupling, where you say, let's draft multiple players at a position and let's see what happens. They got Rousseau and Basham, two different types of – they're different than each other. One of them's more of a strong base end. The other is a long-levered guy that you want to develop in Rousseau. Spencer Brown is a future starter. I think it potentially left tackle. Northern Iowa, I thought that was a great pick. And then Tommy Doyle, I know a team that wanted to vomit.
They got scooped on Tommy a couple times.
Yeah, they did it a couple times. And then Marquez Stevenson, you got another speed guy. Damar Hamlin, safety, who I think is going to be a third safety in the league. So I think they had a good draft. I think Matt Rhule killed it in Carolina.
J.C. Horn to start. Terrace Marshall, second.
Brady 59. Christensen is going to be, I think, a solid NFL offensive lineman, probably a guard. Tommy Tremble, good draft pick. Chuba was okay. Did you see? I know you saw it where his wife kind of made that pick. Matt, did you see that?
No.
Dale, get the sound. We'll play it for you right now. It's not that hard to find. So, you know, Matt Rhule's at Baylor, right? Okay, I won't spoil anymore. I'll look at some of this. Matt Rhule's wife made that pick. I'll keep going down here. Deontay Brown, I think, is a Future starter in the sixth round.
I'm intrigued now.
Yeah. Matt Rhule made a fourth-round pick on a Canadian running back who had 2,000 yards in 2019. Tell me when you got it, Dell, and we'll play it for you. It's not going to be that hard to find. That was something that made its way out of social media.
Thomas Fletcher, Phil Hoskins, okay. Davion Dixon.
We mentioned Bears. I love the running back Khalil Herbert in the sixth round. And Daz Newsome also in the sixth round, the cornerback. But everyone is so hyped on. And maybe he will be. I liken him to, well, I think Justin Fields is the next.
Justin Fields Dak is Prescott. Immediately the third best quarterback in Bears history. No, I'm serious.
Matt Money Smith, we did a grade show yesterday, and Money was going down the list of quarterbacks. It was astonishing how bad
they
were.
It's bad.
I couldn't believe it.
No.
How many bad quarterbacks there have been.
No. He's immediately the third best quarterback in Bears history. There's no question. Cincinnati, Jamar Chase, Joseph Asai, Jackson Carmen, offensive tackle, Joseph Asai.
Cam Sample, Tyler Shelvin. I thought they had a good draft.
Yeah, they did.
I think they had a good draft. Cam Sample's a hard-playing guy. Tyler Shelvin's a run stuffer who can play behind DJ Reader and give you a good rotational defender to stop the run.
Does the selection or non-selection of an early tackle mean that it's Jonah Williams and Riley Reiff?
Yeah, but I think Villanueva from and Eric Fisher, two guys to keep your eye on.
Okay.
People forget about Eric Fisher and Villanueva. And I think – and Jackson Carmen, actually, I've got him at guard, but my guess is they see him as a tackle.
Is he better than the guys on the roster now?
Well, Riley Reiff, yeah, he's probably better. Well, no. Well, I think I don't think he'll be able to play NFL tackle. So, but he has some stuff out there too that some teams pulled him off the board. So he may be dealing with some stuff coming up here in the future.
Well, it's not her. She texted him, and
you can play the audio of Matt talking to
Matt Rhule talks to Hubbard about how he got drafted.
What's up, man? You know, I couldn't sit there and watch you run wild on me all those years at Baylor and not take you when I had a chance.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity.
This is true. Oh, this is true. I got to tell you this, man. About 10 minutes ago, my wife texted me and said, please take Chuba Hubbard. So she speaks, it happens. We're excited to have you, man.
Yes, sir. Excited to be there with y'all.
Hey, here's our owner, Mr. Tepper.
Yes, sir.
Watch this. Here's the owner.
I got to tell you, you made it easy for the coach right now because his wife, that's actually an absolutely true story. Show me the text. She said, you better come home and you better have you. I'm telling you the truth. It's a damn truth. Anyways, congratulations. Glad to
I swear on everything. If Nicole, if I'm ever a GM and Nicole tries to tell me who to draft, I will immediately just put her on snooze alerts. Never tell me to draft a pure outside zone back in the fourth round who wasn't even his best running back
on his team this year.
If Nicole ever tells me, I watched what he did to Texas. I don't care if one did that to Texas. Snooze. Drafting people you tell me to draft? What are you talking about? People who beat Texas I got to draft?
Listen.
Who didn't do great against Texas?
Wendy calls me and says, draft Joe Burrow. You know what I'm going to do? Draft Joe Burrow. That's right.
That's different.
No, it's not.
That guy won a national championship.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay? If Wendy, listen, honey, I'm going to listen to you when you tell me to draft Joe Burrow or Jamar Chase. If she says, draft Jamar Chase.
Those aren't teams who beat. How about players who beat LSU?
What if she told you to draft Grant Delpit?
I'd say goodbye. Goodbye. Mind your own business anyway.
I'm getting another call on the other line. Honey, there's a safety named Grant. I got another call.
I don't take no orders from no females, by the way. 713-780-3776.
She's talking about the Venn diagram. Running backs.
It's so easy that you can do it in your underwear. That's right. We'll continue with the teams on the other side. But right now, I want to talk about GiveMeTheVin.com. I heard John Clay Wolf, he does his commercial. He said, that's right. If you go to your dealership and you get a bid from them on how much they want to buy your car for, just send me that, and guess what? I'm going to beat it. And if I don't beat it, I'll send you $100. If you go to CarMax and they give you a bid for your car, and I can't beat it, I'm going to send you $100. That's what John Clay Wolf do every single day. It's John Clay Wolf. Are you John Clay Wolf? No. John Clay Wolf gives $100 bills out. Well, actually, he really doesn't. I asked the guy that was here in the city of Houston. He said, I've been here for years. You know how many times we did that? Once. one time that we couldn't beat a deal because CarMax made a stupid, stupid offer of like thousands more than they should have. But John Clay Wolfel actually and has actually given thousands of dollars more than the other offers. Literally thousands of dollars more. So you're dumb. If you're going to sell your car and you don't ask him, then that's just dumb. So go to GiveMeTheVIN.com and find out what he'll give you at GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.